Today, on The Journey.
Left to ourselves. Any one of us who refuses to deal with the cracks in our personal foundation is more than capable to move over to the land of the enemy and live a double life.
James tells us the double-minded person is unstable in all his or her ways. So why do we often choose the dishonesty of a double life over the stability of obedience? Well, today, Ron Moore gives us three reasons and the way back to wholeness. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, Double Life on the Journey.
When Lori and I were living in Dallas and decided to buy a house, we were looking in an area called Mesquite, Texas. We got this realtor, and he took us around to all the houses in our price range, right? You guys have done this drill before. And so we knew kind of what we could afford, and we knew what the houses would kind of look like. And so one day he calls us and says, hey, this house is on the market. I want to show it to you. And we drove up to it, and as soon as we drove up to it, I thought, man, there's no way this can be in our price range. It was a beautiful house. Not to say the other houses weren't nice, but this was a level up, right? It was new, beautifully landscaped, walked through the house. The rooms were perfect. Everything was perfect. Except when Laura and I went down this hallway, we noticed something just a little different. There was a little slant to the house. A big slant, actually, to the house. And so we walked outside, and there was this crack in the foundation. It's beautiful on the outside, but it had this faulty foundation. A lot of people on the outside, they are attractive, they are winsome, and their journey a lot of times is enviable. We say, man, if we could have that person's life, things would be great. We describe these people with words like solid, integrity, godly, faithful. These are the people we look up to. And sometimes these people inspire us all our lives, and that's great. But it seems far too often, at some point, we learn another part of this person's story. They weren't as whole as we thought. They weren't as solid as we thought. In fact, they were living a double life. How about you? Would anyone be shocked to find out who you really are? Now, I do know this, any one of us left to ourselves, any one of us who refuses to deal with the cracks in our personal foundation, any one of us is more than capable, given a certain circumstance, to move over to the land of the enemy and live a double life. Any one of us. So that's what we want to talk about today. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 27. What does this double life look like? Let me set the context. This is a story about King David in the Old Testament. God describes David as a man after my own heart. David was out tending the sheep when the prophet Samuel was sent to him to anoint him as king over Israel. And as soon as Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of the Lord came on him with power, and things were never the same for David. David was a teenager when that happened, and the next thing he did was he went up against the Philistine giant Goliath. He took 5 stones to kill him, but it only took one, and he planted that stone right in the middle of Goliath's big forehead. That's the problem with being a giant. You have a big head for a target. This amazing feat made David an overnight sensation. His victory over the giant landed him a job as a commander over 1,000, and he never lost a battle. He was undefeated on the battlefield. David moved from a solo shepherd in the sheep pens to a hero on the streets of Jerusalem with the young girls, scripture says, writing songs and singing about him and pining over him. Someone once said that The most dangerous thing a young man can experience or a young woman can experience is too much success too early. And it's as if God says to David, time out. Things are moving just a little too fast. David, I've got some great things for you. You're going to do great things, but you need some training. You need some years on you. You need some old-fashioned preparation. Someone asked the writer David Foster Wallace, how did you get so dang smart? And Wallace said, I did the reading. I did the preparation. For David, the training was an extended course with long sessions. Saul was still on the throne, and he was jealous of David, and so he was determined to kill David, and David had to ran from him for 10 years. And in chapter 27, we're about 8.5 years into that fugitive life of David. David has been obeying the whole time. Obedience is always the right thing to do, isn't it? But it's often the hardest thing to do. And right after a great act of obedience where David could have killed Saul, but he didn't, David said, I am tired. I am worn out. And in a dangerous mode of self-counsel, David made the decision to escape to the land of the enemy. He doubted God's promise. He was certain that Saul, not God, was going to win out and destroy him. So he said, I'm headed to the land of the enemy. Look at chapter 27, verse 1. David moved to the land of the enemy, and guess what? It worked. David thought to himself, one of these days I'll be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. And then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I'll slip out of his hand. Go down to verse 4. When Saul was told that David had fled Gath, he no longer searched for him. Sin works for a while. Look at verse 5. Then David said to Achish, Achish was one of the 5 Philistine kings, was one of the kings that kind of took David under his wing. David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of your country towns that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day, Achish gave him Ziklag, and it belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. David lived in the Philistine territory for 1 year and 4 months. Now, one of the major problems of living in Ziklag, living a lie, living a double life, is that truth becomes a liability. You got to tell a lie if you're going to live double life. And here's what happened to David. Check this out. Look at verse 8. Notice these towns. Now, David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. That's who David raided. Those were the enemies of Israel. So while he's living in this sinful state, while he's living in Ziklag, while he's gone over to the enemy, he is still raiding the enemies of Israel. But, look at verse 10. When Achish asked, where did you go raiding today? It's a great question. Who'd you go kill today? David said, well, I went against the Negev of Judah. I went against the Negev of Jeremel. I went against the Negev of the Kenites. Those were the enemies of the Philistines. So while David is actually raiding the Israelite enemies, he has to lie. When you live a double life, you've got to lie. Truth is a liability. So he tells the king, no, I'm out raiding the Philistine enemies. This is David, the man after God's own heart. Now, when you tell a lie, you got to cover up. Notice what David has to do. He decides the best way to keep this secret life under wraps is just to bury all those who know the truth. Look at verse 9. Whenever David attacked the area, he did not leave a man or woman alive. Look at verse 11. He did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought they might inform on us and say, this is what David really did. And such was his practice as long as he lived in the Philistine territory. Double life. The Russian writer Dostoevsky wrote in his little essay, Honesty, this is not scripture, but this is insightful stuff. He wrote, "When we lie to ourselves and believe our own lies, we become unable to recognize the truth either in ourselves or in anyone else. And we end up losing respect for ourselves and others. When we have no respect for anyone, we no longer love, and in order to divert ourselves, having no love in us, we yield to our impulses, indulge in the lowest form of pleasure, and behave in the end like an animal in satisfying our vices. And it all comes from lying, lying to others and lying to ourselves." That's what happened to David. In the end, he became like an animal. Here, he's killing people so they don't tell the truth. Let's think about this life in Ziklag, this double life. I believe there are three reasons why people, maybe some of you here today, are involved in this double life. These three kind of intersect and overlap, but let's look at each one separately. Here's the first reason, the double life of presentation. There are many who live the double life of Ziklag simply to impress others. It's shallow for sure, but life for them is just about appearance. Many Christians want to appear a certain way when they know the foundation of their soul is faulty. Every once in a while, on a special occasion, Lori and I will go to a really nice restaurant. And I know I'm at a restaurant I shouldn't be at when I get the menu and I can't recognize anything on the menu, right? I mean, looking for chicken nuggets and they're not on the menu. So finally order something at this expensive restaurant and it's like there's this little piece of meat and then mashed potatoes with some French name and then like two spears of asparagus. And you're saying like, where's the rest of this meal I paid for? And Laura says, what a great presentation. And I say, look, we didn't take out a loan for this meal for the presentation. Where's the food? And then you get the dessert, and it's something little in the middle with chocolate, like just barely drizzled around it. Now, when you have to lick the plate to get your chocolate, you know there's not enough chocolate on that plate. Presentation is heavy on appearance, but light on substance. When we're living a double life, we are all about impressing other people instead of impacting people. In the New Testament, Jesus offered forgiveness to the prostitute. He offered salvation to the woman who was making a hobby out of divorce. Five times she'd been divorced and she was living with someone that not her husband. At that point, Jesus met her by the well. Jesus had dinner with self-serving, hated tax collectors who had joined the Romans, being deceitful and bringing fraud against their own countrymen. He even showed mercy to the thief on the cross who could not do one act of good works. Jesus offered him heaven. But there was a certain group of religious people that Jesus had absolutely no patience with. They were all about presentation. And so Jesus said in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." That word hypocrisy, by the way, is the biblical word for double life. It comes from a Greek word that means play actor. It was taken from the theater, pretending to be who you're not. You're living in the dangerous land of Ziklag when you talk and act to impress, but you know inside you are spiritually bankrupt. Here's a second reason for a double life. Promotion. we enter into this double life, when we feel the truth won't get us where we want to go. And so we promote ourselves in the eyes of one group one way, and then in the eyes of another group another way. We kind of have a chameleon personality. We take an extra change of values with us wherever we go, an extra change of language, an extra change of personality. David's double life of promotion promoted him in the eyes of Achish, the king. Look at verse 12. When Achish heard that David was going against the enemies of the Philistines, although he really wasn't, Achish trusted David and said to him, "He has become so odious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant forever." In the New Testament, there's another man who had this problem for a little bit. Peter. Remember the story in Galatians chapter 2? Peter went to this town and only Gentiles were there. And so Peter is eating freely with the Gentiles. But remember, some Jews came into town and Peter said, "Whoops, they're not going to like it that I'm with the Gentiles." And so Peter left the Gentiles and wouldn't eat with them anymore. And he started eating with the Jews. And Paul came in and called him on it. Said, "Hey, Peter, it doesn't work like that." Double life. Double life is when we promote ourselves to adapt and fit into a particular group, the one you're with at the time. So when you're with the Christian group, you're the cool Christian guy or girl. And then when you're with the non-Christian group, you're far from it. Your language, your attitude, your stories, your personality changes to gain acceptance in whatever group you're in at that time. And so Christians, they say, "Man, this is confusing." And non-Christians say, "Man, this is a joke. Who are you anyway?" The double life of self-promotion. Here's the last one. The double life of protection. Some people enter into that other life to protect themselves, so they live the two lives. So what David did again, go back to verse 1, which is kind of our theme verse for this series. David says, "I'm going to be destroyed by the hand of Saul. I know it. Saul's going to win. God's going to lose. The best thing I can do for myself, because it's about me, is to escape to the land of the Philistines. I'm going to join the land of the enemy. I'm going to live in Ziklag. Then Saul's going to give up searching for me and everything's going to be fine." It's the problem with the double life. It's never fine. Nothing turns out fine. Double life is what we do when we don't want anyone else to find out who we really are, what we're really doing. This is the Ziklag of cutting ethical corners in business that no one else sees until one day everybody sees. This is the world of the person struggling with alcohol, the alcoholic. This is the world of the person addicted to drugs. Ziklag is where the adulterer lives. Because you can't let your family know and your friends know. What would they think? But I want this life over here. Ziklag is where a person moves to keep his or her secrets. Anyone here living in Ziklag? Here's a warning of Scripture if you're living there. Sooner or later, you're going to be found out. Proverbs 20, verse 17 says, "Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouthful of gravel." Proverbs 6 talks about promiscuous sex or adultery and asks the question, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is the man who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even next week. But this is the truth of God's word. Galatians chapter 6, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. 1 Timothy 5, the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. But the sins of some others trail behind them. Sooner or later, they all catch up. Numbers 32:23. But if you fail to obey, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure your sin will find you out. Double life is a life of lies. And you may get by with it for a while. No one may ever know. God always does. But you may hide it from your family, your friends, but sooner or later, your sins will find you out. So how about you? Here's my challenge, straight up. Some of you are living a duplicitous life. It is deceitful, it is sinful, and it is dangerous. And you may have convinced yourself that no one's going to catch you because they haven't caught you yet. But by the word of God, I can say this. Be sure your sin will find you out. And there will be some collateral damage. And there'll be a deep hole of cover up. So today, I'm inviting you to come clean. I'm inviting you to leave the double life. I'm inviting you to one who can offer and give forgiveness and grace and love and begin a process of restoration.
And please stay tuned. Ron will return with a sample of his new podcast, Fresh Faith, just ahead. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're deeply scarred by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a sample of his question and answer podcast called Fresh Faith.
Our last question for this episode says, Proverbs 13:24 talks about the rod. Is physical discipline okay for Christian families?
Proverbs 10:24 talks about the rod, but it can also be a figure of speech for discipline. I'm not talking about taking a rod after your child. So maybe we're talking about spanking a child or whatever here. Yes, that needs to happen sometimes. Maybe it needs to be rare. It needs to be meaningful and never, ever out of anger. It always has to be encompassed in love. It never can be done to inflict harm. There's an age range in there too. Bob, I think in your studies, 2 to 6 maybe, yes. And very appropriate.
Another thing just to add on to what you're saying, Ron, is as a part of the plan and an intentional approach to discipline, not the first response.
We hope you'll look for the online insights Ron shares in the Fresh Faith podcast. It's at BibleChapel.org under the resources link on our front page. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going or start moving. It's published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.